Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, everyone. This is Kelly Harris. I'd like to welcome you all to Walking in the Footsteps of Jesus' Ministry. Today we're going to be reading Acts chapter 11, and we're going to go through the whole verse. No, not through the whole verse. We're going to go up to, let's see, verse 18. Anyway, my friends, before we read chapter 11, let us remember what occurred in the last chapter. In the last chapter, Peter goes to a Gentile's house, a Roman centurion named Cornelius. And it was by a vision that Peter was told to come to this man's home. At first, Peter was objecting to this because he believed it was unclean to go under a Gentile's house. Still very much influenced by the teachings of the Talmud, but however, what Jesus told them was that clean was basically okay, because he saw different kinds of animals out there. And these animals represented the Gentile nation to Peter was supposed to go and preach to the world to. Because remember, the apostles at the beginning believed in the early church was before they go out to the Gentiles, if they go to the Gentiles at all, that they had to bring the word to Israel, and Israel would have to, all of Israel would accept Jesus as their Savior first before they could take the word to the Gentiles, if at all. However, Peter seeing this vision and God telling him what he had to do, meaning that the Lord's Spirit was upon everybody, when he died upon that cross, it meant that the Spirit was not only for the children of Israel, but there were also for many Gentiles out there who the Lord wanted to have a relationship with and wanted to bring them into his family. So Peter, he goes to Cornelius' house. He tells him about Christ Jesus. And Cornelius, his family, and all of his household was baptized in the name of Jesus. Now, chapter 11, this will be going on about the debate that was happening in the early church, because many believed that Peter should not have went to a Gentile's house to bring them the good news about Jesus Christ. They still had this opinion that the word was only for their own people because of the Abrahamic covenant. But, again, the Abrahamic covenant was not supposed to slice people away if they believed in the Lord God, just that the Lord had a covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob and their descendants. Because if you recall, they were people who were not born of the Abraham blood, convert later on, as we know, through the Old Testament, who became followers of God, who knew the real God, right? They gave up their pagan worship and began following God and followed Yahweh, right? And remember, if you look at the bloodline of Jesus through David, that David had people who were not fully of the Judean tribe, because when we recall, and we read the book of Joshua, it was his great-great-great-great-great-grandmother who was the prostitute that helped the children of Israel out when they took that one city. Then Ruth, who was from not of the tribe of any of the house of Israel, married a Judean from the house of Judah, and she bared no sons, but yet she stuck with her mother because she considered her mother-in-law to be her mother, and she said that your God will be my God. And it was her mother that set her up with a righteous man from Judea. And that's where David, that's the house where David was coming from. So even David wasn't full Jew. He had other ancestries besides the tribe of Judah inside of him. And which led to even with Jesus, because he came from the house of David, which he himself would have not have had the full Jew blood in them. So basically, the Lord, even in the Old Testament, did not reject someone who said, you're going to be my God, if they did not come from the house of Israel. Can grok it in there when they joined in with them. Like Hariah the Hittite, right? He became a follower of the Lord God. He knew the real God and wanted to please the Lord God, right? Correct. So in this case, this new covenant that Jesus did when he died upon the cross was for all of humanity. Because in this day, and the day still goes on today, his spirit still comes upon us, right? All flesh. His spirit comes upon all flesh. So here we are right now with the early church now debating. So let us now turn to chapter 11 of the book of Acts, and let's study this. Now the apostles and the brothers who were in Judea heard that the Gentiles too had accepted the word of God. Peter went up to Jerusalem. The circumcised believers confronted him, saying, you entered the house of an uncircumcised people and ate with them. Peter explained to them, step by step, saying, I was at prayer in the city of Joppa, when in a trance I had a vision, something resembling a large sheet coming down, lowered from the sky by its four corners, and it came to me. Looking intensely into it, I observed and saw the four-legged animals of the earth and the wild beasts and reptile guide. I also heard the voice say to me, get up, Peter, slaughter and eat. But I said, certainly not, sir, because nothing profane or unclean has ever entered my mouth. But a second time, a voice from heaven answered, well, God has made clean. You are not to call profane. This happened three times, and then everything was drawn up again into the sky. Just then, three men appeared at the house where we were, been sent to me by Caesarea. The Spirit told me to accompany them without discriminating. These six brothers also went with me, and we entered the man's house. He related to us how he had seen the angel standing in his house, saying, send someone to Joppa and summon Simon, who is called Peter, who will speak words to you by which you and all your household will be saved. As they began to speak, the Holy Spirit fell upon them as it had upon me, and I remembered the word of the Lord, that he said, John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. If then God gave them the same gift he gave to us when we came in, when we came to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, who was able to hinder God. When they heard this, they stopped objecting and glorified God, saying, God has then granted life-giving repentance to the Gentiles too. Right here, we understand that the Lord God, becoming a man by the name of Jesus Christ, died for all men's sins. And he brought in the Gentiles and the people of Israel. We all became grafted through him because he paid the price for all the sins of the earth that was caused the day Adam sinned. When we read this, we understand It doesn't matter what background you come from. You could be rich. You could be poor. You could be middle class. You could be working class. The gift that God has given you is for everyone. God is like a magnet. He always draws us near him. He knew us before we was even born and began drawing us near him. He drew us to him when we was in our darkest days of our life until we accepted him as our Lord and Savior. God sees us as his children. He doesn't look at your bank account or what work ethic you come from or what family you come from. He looks at you, the individual, and sees what's in your heart. He doesn't care about your money. He doesn't care about your family. He cares about you, and he wants you, because the only highfalutin family that you belong to is the one that is of God, the family of God. So you who are out there, you may be having struggles within your life. You may have any kind of addiction or no addiction at all. You may feel empty inside your heart. You may have succeeded in the business world, and yet you still feel empty, and you wonder why. You made a success out of yourself. You may even have become famous in your own way, and here you are. You fought to get up on the top of the mountain, and yet you still feel an emptiness in your life. That is because the one equation that is missing from your life is the Lord Jesus Christ. You may have had the intelligence enough to be able to make plenty of money for yourself, but it's not going to bring you personal peace, personal happiness, unless you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior and be baptized in the name of Jesus and let His Holy Spirit run through you. Then you understand what you are missing. The money cannot make you happy. The money cannot fulfill what's in your inner thoughts or what's in your heart. But Christ can. And He can give you that peace of mind that you've always been looking for, that freedom that you've always been looking for. And that goes for everybody who lives out there. You may feel like you're struggling with your life, with your finances out there, if you're in the middle or a working class situation, or if you're poor, you may feel like, how do I get out of this? And you feel like there's something missing in your life and you're struggling. But yet, the good news, the Lord is with you. Come to Him. Join the family of God and let Him be a part of your life. Many of you try to substitute what you do in your life with drugs or alcohol to get some kind of feeling. But yet, when you sober up, that temporary feeling you might have felt is gone, is it not now? The only feeling that will fulfill your heart is through Christ Jesus. He paid that price. He wants you in His family. He wants everyone in His family. So come join the family of Christ. Come join the family of God. He paid that price for you 2,000 years ago so you may live. You don't have to be miserable. You don't have to feel envious. You don't have to feel that there's something entering your life that you have to replace it with something, either with sex or drugs or anything else. Let the Holy Spirit live within you and let Him fulfill what is that you feel that is missing. Because from the beginning, we were always supposed to feel the Lord's Spirit living within us, who would make us feel the way we are when we accept Him as our Lord and Savior. And for those out there who are believers in Christ and accepted Him and are having your own personal struggles, don't give up. Keep praying. Push. Pray until something happens. That's what God wants you and I to do. The Lord Jesus Christ never promised us, if we follow him, we'll never have a problem again in our life. Remember, the apostles, they themselves were arrested. In the Old Testament, Joseph, he was arrested. David was a fugitive from his own country when Saul was after him. And Jesus himself was arrested, beaten, tortured, and killed until he rose again from the grave. Keep praying, because these bad times you may be feeling now will never last forever. And that's what being a part of a family of God is. We support one another when one of our own is having a tough time in their life, and we pray for our loved one right there. Because when we accept Christ as our Savior, the people who we go to church with, every Christian around the world, is our brother and sister and the Lord Jesus Christ. Doesn't matter what nation you come from. Doesn't matter how much money you have in the bank. Doesn't matter where you're living. We are one body. We are one in Christ. And when I say one in Christ, I mean one in Christ. So let's not try to separate ourselves from the denominational point of your denominational religion. And what I mean by that is that many times in our Christian walk, we follow a religious belief. We just read about the uncircumcised believers were mad at Peter for going into an uncircumcised man's house. Now, the problem with what they were doing was they wanted to put religion on Cornelius, saying he wasn't worthy enough to receive the Holy Spirit that the Lord Jesus Christ was offering to all believers because he was not circumcised. And that is what religion does within the church. We can chase people away from the church because of this religion we put in our path of someone who wants to come to Jesus Christ. Someone right there who may not have been baptized in your denomination may feel the Holy Spirit say, go up to the altar and pray up at the altar. But if you're not part of that denomination, you're not allowed. Or if you feel the Holy Spirit telling you to go up there and take communion, but the denomination says, no, you cannot come up here because you're not part of our denomination. Well, again, we are hindering what the Lord wants done. How dare we do that? We have no right to do that. Any believer in Jesus Christ should be allowed to take communion of our Lord Jesus Christ. Any believer in the Lord Jesus Christ has the right to come up to the altar and pray to the Lord Jesus Christ. Any believer of Jesus Christ should be able to shout during the church services when they're singing or when the pastor's preaching, when they feel the Holy Spirit gripping them right there and then. No one should tell them to be quiet. We don't do things this way here. We're hindering the Spirit. And that's what happened right here when Peter had to explain to them about he could not hinder what God wanted when the Holy Spirit came on to Cornelius. We know later on that this was a debate in the church again when Paul was debating with believers who thought that the only way to salvation was through circumcision first. And Paul's argument was, no, it wasn't, because circumcision was merely a covenant between Abraham's descendants and God. It had nothing to do with salvation. To be circumcised had everything to do with salvation. That was it, to make you circumcised. I think every person on the earth, every male, I should say, on the earth would be circumcised. The problem with that would have been, yes, you're circumcised, but yet you're still living the life that the Lord does not want you to live. You're still being selfish. You're still being sinful. You're still doing all the things that are not of God. Aha, but I'm circumcised, so that's a ticket is heaven for me? No, it's not. It is through Jesus Christ and your belief in him. That is the way, the only way you will make it into heaven, is to believe in him, accept his Holy Spirit, let his Holy Spirit come into you and like fire wash away your sins. Because, my friend, once you are saved, you are no longer that same person who you once were. You are now a new creature. You are now a part of the family of God. You are now, let me say this again, you are now part of the family of God. You are no longer the Gentile. You are no longer separated from God. You are now part of the God, of God's family. You are living within the body. You are part of the body. You're free. You're free from all the things that kept you separated from the Lord God. You're free to live with the Lord God. You're free to be with the Lord God. You are free forever. You are free to walk in his way. And wherever you go in life, wherever you happen to be in the world, you take the Lord with you. And with the Lord comes the kingdom of heaven. Because you are a part of the family of God. For you out there, when we preach to you out there who are lost, when we evangelize to you, we want you to come join the family of God. We want you in our family because the Lord wants you there. What do you think we're talking to you for? Because the Holy Spirit's telling us, go over there. Talk to them. Talk to them. Tell them about me. Tell them how much I love them. Tell them I want them to come home. Tell them I want this person. You who are listening right now who are not saved, you. The Lord Jesus Christ wants you and his family. He wants you to be a part of the family of God, to be a part of his family. So whatever problems you have out there, any questions, anything you seek out there, your answer is Jesus Christ. He is the answer to all the things you need to be fulfilled. Through good times and in bad times, we believers praise the Lord Jesus Christ because we know in the end time to get us through it because he promised and he always keeps his promise. For you out there who are on your own journey, who are searching, come home. Come and know Jesus Christ. Be a part of the family of God. Be fulfilled. It doesn't matter where you came from. It doesn't matter, even if you think, God will never forgive me for what I did a long time ago. You may have been a person like a Charles Manson. You may have been a person like an Adolf Hitler or Joseph Stalin. You may have been just a selfish person all your life who didn't do nothing like Hitler did, but you may have been selfish in your own way to other people or not selfish at all but didn't believe in the Lord God and just didn't want to be bothered with anybody. But yet you always felt something missing. You somehow you think because of what you did or even had an abortion in your life. And because of your own actions that you did, you somehow believe, I can never come to the Lord. The Lord will never forgive me. What did the Lord say when he was dying upon the cross? He had two men beside him. One was tempting him and telling him, if you are the Son of God, save yourself and save us. The other man said, Jesus, when you come into your kingdom, remember me. This man did not expect to be saved. He thought, because of the sins he did, and probably this man was a murderer, because he was hanging upon the cross, so he probably did a lot of terrible things in his life, which led him to this. And I'm sure when he looked at his life, saw his life as a waste, because now he was hanging upon the cross, being put to death. and he thought he was never going to see the kingdom of heaven. He knew at the end this was it for him. But because Jesus stood in Barabbas' place, just think, if people yelling if they wanted Barabbas or Jesus, or if they yelled for Jesus, and Barabbas had been on the cross, that man dying beside Jesus never would have heard the beautiful words Jesus told him. Today, you will be with me in paradise. If not for Jesus going to the cross, that man dying near Jesus would not have been saved right there upon the cross. He never would be in paradise. Just think, my friend, when the book of life was written about this man, his story began when Jesus told him, today, you will be with me in paradise. He didn't tell him about this man's past. He didn't go through all the stuff that this man did in his life. He already knew it. But because he accepted Jesus upon the cross, that's what saved him. And in the Lamb's Book of Life, this man's story began when he accepted Jesus, when he said, remember me when you enter into your kingdom. Remember me. Jesus knew that this man's sins were many, but yet he forgave him because he saw his heart change right at that moment. Right at that moment. And this man, as he's living now in the kingdom of heaven, whatever he's doing up there, there's more things about this man's life, what he's been doing in heaven. And that would be a great thing to look at, my friend. Wow, that'd be incredible, wouldn't it? But what plans has God had for him when he brings his kingdom officially upon this earth, when he rules for 1,000 years, but this man who died upon the cross of Jesus, what will his job be when he comes down with Jesus, when he lives upon this earth? Now, he had a change of heart, but the thing of it is, that heart would not have changed if Barabbas had not died upon the cross. And unfairly, misguided church leaders in the past had blamed the Jews for Jesus' death. Now, never mind that our early brothers and sisters were Jews themselves. I'm here to say the Jews did not kill our Lord Jesus Christ. The people who were in power, like the Sanhedrin, they're behind his death, but what they didn't know was they were putting the lamb to the sacrifice. They thought they were getting rid of him. Satan thought he was getting rid of him. What they did was they put the lamb, God's holy lamb, to the sacrifice to die for our sins. And you know what? Going back to that man upon the cross, if the Sanhedrin never wanted him crucified, and the majority of those people said, no, we'll take Jesus and Barabbas, that man on the cross would have died on the cross and would have been separated from God for the rest of his life. But Jesus did, even on the cross. Not only did he forgive his persecutors, but he forgave the man who was willing to change his heart right there upon the cross. Right there. Today, you will be with me in paradise. This man probably did. We don't know what this man did. This man might have done Charlie Manson things. This man was probably the cruelest man when he walked upon the earth that we ever knew. He could have been the Al Capone of Judea at the time. We don't know what this man did. But thank the Lord that by accepting Jesus as his Savior came a new man on Paul's night cross. He was now saved, and his home was in heaven with our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen to that. And my friend, I do say this because the church did make a mistake throughout the century. And I would say it probably happened when Christianity became the state religion of the Roman Empire. They added the anti-Semitic feelings that the Romans had for the Jews inside the church. Failed to realize was is that when you accept Christ Jesus as your Savior, you're accepted in with the house of Israel. You're part of the family of God. And the children of Israel, even though the majority do not believe in Jesus as their Messiah, their Lord and Savior, they are still God's chosen people because of the covenant God made with Abraham, right? So, by making this covenant with Abraham, he's not going to break it. He will not break the covenant. And the apostles never said the Jews were no outcasts. No, they did not. In fact, we know that according to what the apostles tell you and I is that Jew and Gentile both have this right to salvation. So we are one body in Christ. And we should have high respect for our Jewish brethren. For those who do not believe in Christ, or for those who do believe in Christ. Because we need to keep on praying for them. One day they'll know the truth. But let's keep on praying for them anyway, because they are God's people. And who are we to say, no, God, they don't follow, the majority do not follow you. We should not hold them as high regard as you do. Who are we to say we tell God that? Did we die upon the cross for man's sins? No, we did not. So we treat all the Jews with respect, because they are God's people who we chose. We are the adoptees through the blood, is all, and we should be on the same wavelength, right, with God, and respect our fellow Jews. Okay? Amen. And that is the truth. The Lord God is out there for you and I. Be his people. And let us behave as his people. And let us not use class warfare to chase fellow Christians away. Or fellow people who want to come to Christ away. Let's not think of our church as a country club church or the clique church where only certain people talk to one another and ignore the rest. Let's talk to everyone in church. When you see someone in your church that no one's shaking hands with, go up there and shake their hand. Welcome them. Make them feel that this is the church for them. Make them feel that they are in heaven right here already, because when we all gather together in worship service, technically we are in heaven right there here on earth, because we are bringing the worship service down from heaven to the earth and to the worship service. So we are all one body, and we are with one with the Lord God. We are all with him right now. And when we see someone who's feeling like an outcast, let's talk to them, and let's help them feel that no, you are not an outcast. You are God's beloved. We love you too. Shake their hand. Talk to them. Get to know them. Get to know their life, their situation. Pray for them. Help them grow in the Lord Jesus Christ. No one in the church feel lonely. No one in the church should not feel that they are an outcast with fellow believers, because the kingdom of heaven, we are all one body. There are no outcasts. Jesus even himself said, love one another. So let's love one another. Talk to one another. Get to know one another. Hold each other up in prayer for one another, because we are worth it. And let us not exclude anyone. Let us not exclude anyone from coming to the Lord Jesus Christ. If they had a terrible past and they want to come to Christ Jesus, let's bring them in. Because once they accept Jesus Christ as their Savior, they're part of the family of God. They are no longer doing those old sins. They are now living for Christ Jesus. And let us mentor them and help them grow in Christ Jesus so they can go out there and tell others about what Christ has done for them and their personal life and help them bring in Christ Jesus as well. As a body, this is how we work together as one, because we are the family of God. We are the children of God. We are the ones that the Lamb was slain for, so we can have salvation with the Lamb and with our Father who is God. He did this for us so you and I could live, so you and I will have a special bond we have with Him. So let us not judge each other over how our conversion to our Lord Jesus Christ was. Each time it may be different. We know Paul's conversion was very different from the apostles, but yet he was one of the strongest people who went out into the Roman world at that time pronouncing Jesus Christ as Lord. My brother once knew someone in college who went to a Van Halen concert of all places. Could you imagine that, a Van Halen concert? And this man, of course, if you ever heard Van Halen music, it's not Christian music. They don't praise the Lord Jesus Christ. But this man felt the Holy Spirit come into him and repented of his sin and was changed. Now, Van Halen had nothing to do with it, just that you don't know when the Lord's Spirit will come upon you. At that time, his conversion was different. So I'm saying is, don't go to a Van Halen concert and say, well, if it happened to this man, this is going to happen to me, because your conversion is going to be very different. It can happen right now if your heart is open to the Lord Jesus Christ. And obviously this man's heart was open when the Holy Spirit came to him. So let us not, as a church body, be critical of someone else's conversion to Jesus and how they're walking with Him, because it differs from the way you walk. So we start doing that, we're putting our own little religion on them, and we're saying, well, you're not good enough, you're not really saved, so you have to do it my way, so tough luck, you're not really saved. Well, of course you're saved. If you believe Jesus Christ entered into your life, you believe everything He says, you believe that you feel His Spirit living within you, you are saved, and you're walking with the Lord Jesus Christ. You are part of the body of Christ. You're part of the family of God. And what I'm also going to say, too, I'm going to get on my tick about religious denominations once again. Do not allow your religious denomination to kill someone's spirit when they come to Christ. Do not tell someone, because you are not a Baptist, a Methodist, Pentecostal, Church of God, Lutheran, Presbyterian, that you're not really saved because you didn't go through these walks that my denomination teaches. When you feel Christ come into your heart, you know it. You know it. And you feel it, because one thing you want to do is change. Because the whole point of repentance is that you don't go and do the same thing over again. The whole point of repentance is that you do not do it again, and you live your life for Christ, and you keep on growing in the Lord Jesus Christ. Right? That is correct. You keep on growing. It's sort of like when you were a child, and when you were a child, as Jesus once said, you felt like a child. And every time you keep on growing up and getting older, your thought patterns became different. When you became 19, you were totally different from when you were 5 years old. You didn't have that same thought pattern. When you became 40, your thought patterns are different from when you were 19. Why? Because you keep on growing. As you keep on growing older, you change, and you saw different. You had different experiences that helped you change and mature. is the same way as when you become a Christian. You have the love of God in you, but you keep on growing by studying His Word. And by studying His Word, this is how you keep on growing in His Word. And that's how you believe, and you keep on growing, and you grow, and you grow, and you grow. That is very important, that you grow and mature in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, remember, when someone has a different experience about how they came to Christ than yours, so what? They're a brother, they are a sister in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen, and they found the Lord Jesus Christ. And amen, that they are now part of the family of God, and now are walking with you and I in the family. Religion will not get you into heaven, but the Lord Jesus Christ can, by accepting Him, follow His way, do what He wants you to do, do what He wants to be saved. It's not too hard, because He'll free you from the bondage that held you back from Him, the bondage of sin. He will break the chains for you. Come and join the family of God. Be a part of the blood. Be a part of the family of Christ Jesus. He gave this gift to you and I. So let us follow this gift. Let us follow the Lord our God, the Prince of Peace. Be the family of God that God wants you and I to be. My friends, we're going to stop here for today. Let us all pray. Lord Jesus Christ, we pray for all those who are out there, those who are seeking you. We pray, Lord Jesus Christ, that they'll accept you as their Lord and Savior. We pray for fellow Christians who are out there having a hard time. Be with them right now who are going through these problems in their life. And let them know in the end, it is you who will always be with them in the end. Yet these tough times will never be permanent, but they'll be over soon. We pray, Lord Jesus, for all the body of Christ, to think of you and not the denomination, to stand in the way. All of the body, worship you in the body, not in a denomination, but as a true body of you, Lord Jesus. For we pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. My friends, I'd like to thank you all for calling in. And for you all who will download this program later, I'd like to thank you all. May the Lord Jesus Christ bless you. And until we meet next time, may the Lord Jesus Christ bless your all life. And may you walk in His presence forever. And I say this in the name of Jesus, who is our Lord and reigning King forever. Amen and amen.